Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, one of the things about being a expositor, such as I am and thousands of other men are, who preach the Bible book by book, verse by verse, and paragraph by paragraph, is you'll come across a text that you know, will apply to all of our lives and help us in every aspect of our life. And so today we're going to talk about the Christ-centered or Spirit-filled workplace. And that's a very needed message today in verses 5 through 9. Remember the context. We're still in the context of chapter 5, verse 18 through 6, 9, where Paul talks about Spirit-filled relationships. First of all, in the church, Spirit-filled marriages, Spirit-filled parents and children, and today, Spirit-filled workplace. I ran across a survey that said that 70% of American workers don't like their jobs. And of that 70%, it said that 90% did not want to get up in the morning and go to work. And they view work as a necessary evil and sing the song, I owe, off to the work I go, right? But I have you to know that it shouldn't be that way, because work is a sacred duty. And many of these people claim to be Christians. It's sad to say, but some of you that have employed people know that some of the worst employees are Christians. But Christian employees and employers should be the best workers that you have. So we need to rediscover what the Bible says about work. It's a sacred duty. It is the arena which God has placed us to live out our faith before lost people and to bring Him glory. Christians should be the best employers and the best employees that there are. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they should see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And we know what that letting your light shine, that's your transformed life. That's your holy life, and that's your truthful life. Light speaks of truth and holiness. And so we ought to let our light shine before other people. Now, I've been there. I've not always been a full-time pastor, so I've been there, and sometimes I get caught up into the trap of thinking and reacting just like the lost people do at work. So I fall into that trap as well. And we don't need to do that. Paul, in our text today, the primary interpretation of our text is actual slaves and masters. There was slaves in the early church. Now, I may go back to this when we get to Ephesians and address slavery, okay? And what the Bible and why Paul did not condemn it outright. And many people say he condoned it, but he didn't. But let me give you the overall principle. What will change a slave owner's heart is the gospel, okay? And we may go back and look at that later on. So that's the primary interpretation. That's what it says here, the words used here. But the practical application is we're going to apply it to the employers and the employees. So let's stand in honor of God's word, and let's begin in verse 5, and we look at the Christ-centered workplace. Servants, so the word is slaves in the Greek, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of in your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, in other words, only working when the boss man's looking, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether it be bond or free. See, bond or free, that's slave or free man, okay? And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Father, I pray that as we look fresh and anew at the sacred place called work, help us to understand we might not be in a calling or a vocational Christian service that places us like something I'm doing today, but all of us have a calling. We have a pulpit. We have a workplace where we live out our faith before lost people. And so all of us are serving the Lord, but in different capacities. Drive that truth home to us today. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Let's look, first of all, at the employees work as unto Christ in verse 5 through 8. And then we'll see, secondly, that the employers treat their employees like they would treat Christ. Now, let's look at the first one. First of all, employees work as unto Christ in verses 5 through 8. The command is clear. We are to live all of life for Christ, no matter what platform. See, we've fallen into the trap that we believe that people say that I'm doing a sacred work and you're not, you know. There's a difference between the secular and the sacred. I'm here to tell you there's a difference between the holy and the profane, okay? What you're doing on your job is just as sacred as what I'm doing this morning, okay? That's what he says, okay? So look at that, not as the secular and the sacred, but as the profane and the holy. What do we do here? Employees work as unto Christ. How do we do that? Verse 5, work respectfully as unto Christ. Look at it in verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. We are to work respectfully. They are to obey with fear and trembling, verse 5 says. As your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. That carries us back to chapter 5, verse 21, that we are to be in the fear of Christ. In other words, we work seriously and reverently because we are working under Christ. I bet, how many of you, don't raise your hand, but ever thought about that? You, when you go to your job, you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You're working as unto Christ. If Christ were standing there instead of your boss man, would you be doing the same things you're doing with your earthly boss that you would if Jesus was actually standing there watching you? That's what he's saying. Well, he's watching anyway and seeing us, but we need to work respectfully as unto Christ. And then secondly, verse 5b through 6, we're to work wholeheartedly as unto Christ. He says, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Now we see the word heart mentioned twice here in verse 5b through 6. The emphasis is on the heart. And we all know that. We can even serve the Lord out of the flesh and not out of the spirit. You know, don't have our heart in it. Don't, in other words, when you go to your workplace, give it your whole heart, right? Or when you're serving the Lord, you do it wholeheartedly. Not just working when the boss was present, right? Don't you hate, if you're in a job where you're not the employer, don't you hate it when you're in an employee environment and you've been slaving there, working, and then other people have been goofing off, the boss man comes in and they begin to work like they've been working, like you've been working, right? Boy, that gets under your skin, don't it? But that's not what, of course, a smart boss man will know that they ain't been doing that, right? And so the emphasis is on the heart here. Don't work while you're just being watched in order to please men, you know? Boy. That person over there, that Chuck fella, man, he's getting it done on them computers, you know, I don't want to use Chuck, he's my cousin. I'll say Linda Matthews, you know. Well, you never worked outside the home, did you? You did? Well, look at Linda Matthews, man, she's burning it up over there. But what she don't know is when the boss man walks away, Linda Matthews heads straight toward the break room, right? Okay, I know, I'm just using, okay, no more examples, okay? But we need to work respectfully, we need to work wholeheartedly, but then thirdly, we need to work willingly as unto Christ. Notice verse 7, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Employees should serve with a good attitude and not with a begrudging spirit. I remember when I worked at Astro Pest Control, I wasn't a supervisor, but every new man that was hired, they let him ride with me so I can train him. And I could tell right away, I tell the boss man at the end of the day, that person ain't going to make it, you know. Because if they don't ask questions, what kind of initiative is that, right? You got to lead them around, right, Brother Marcus, and tell them everything to do. They can't think for themselves, right? And you know right away they ain't going to make it, you know? And they usually didn't. And, but, you know, we need to work willingly. We need to serve with a good attitude, not a begrudging spirit. And he tells them to put their whole heart and soul into their work because they're doing God's will. Again, that's your platform. Okay, this is my platform. You are my platform. But there was a time when I was bivocational. You know, there's a time when I wasn't a preacher. And that's your platform. I hope we understand that today. Don't think I'm doing something less spiritual than somebody else is. Okay? Because you are, that is your platform, which you shine your light before lost people. Okay? And then number four, verse 8, we need to work expectantly as unto Christ. Notice verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And no act or work of any person, male or female, will go unnoticed by the Lord, right? The believers will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, yes, and will be rewarded based on their faithfulness and their motive, right? Unbelievers appear at the great white throne judgment to be cast into hell. We appear at the judgment seat of Christ after the rapture of church, not for a matter of salvation, but a matter of faithfulness that determines our reward based upon the gifts that we've been given and our motivation. Okay? So he says here, understand that God's going to judge you as well for what you do or don't do in the workplace. Okay? Are you with me? And that's what he's saying here. Be the best employee that you can be. So we move from employees who work as unto Christ, verses 5 through 8, to one verse for employers treat employees as you would Christ. Look in verse 9. And ye masters, again, remember the primary interpretation here is an actual master over a slave. Okay, they were slaves in the early church. But the primary, the practical application is our employer-employee relationship. Now look in verse 9. And you masters, do the same things unto them, the employees, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Now he's talking about Christian employers and Christian employees. Knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Now, there's two responsibilities that the employer, Christian employer, has to his employees that are not in our text. I want to go ahead and mention to them. A fair wage, amen, for a fair day's work, okay? A fair wage, and also don't defraud them. That's in other passages of scriptures in the New Testament. Wicked employers who defraud their employees. But there's four mentioned right here. And we're going to look at them. Verse 9. Notice what verse 9 says. And ye masters, do the same things unto them. In other words, here's the first one. Treat your employees the way you want to be treated. Right? They're not your dog. They're not your slave. They're not your people to browbeat. You need to adhere to the admonitions in our text. Treat your employees the way you want to be treated. Do the same unto them. Integrity, show them integrity, respect, humility, gentleness. All that goes a long way in how we treat our employees. Treat them as you would Christ. Okay? That's what he's saying here. Treat your employees the way you want to be treated. Number two, avoid hostility. Look in verse 9. Notice what it says. Forbearing, threatening. Of course, that would be very appropriate for the slave-master relationship, right? But for the employer-employee relationship, Christian employers are not to be bullies. They're not to be aggressive. You know, when we were growing up, Brother Larry, they had bullying going on back then, right, Brother Marcus, in our school? And usually, there were people in the school that knew how to take care of the bully, right? You didn't have to go do what they do today. You know, bullies were taken care of. And need I say any more? Okay? But today, You're not allowed to do that in the school, so therefore it puts so much on our young people. And there have been people, teenagers, that have actually killed themselves because they were bullied, right? But when we were growing up, it was the bully that liked to got killed, right? You see what I'm saying? But avoid hostility, be forbearing, threatening. Don't be aggressive or bullying toward your employees for the Christian employer. So we treat employees the way you want to be treated. Verse 9 also says avoid hostility, right? You could see how that could be bad, right? And then number 3, Christ-centered accountability. Look in verse 9c. Knowing that your master also is in heaven. In other words, remember that both the employer and the employee, Christian employer and employee, will be accountable to Christ, okay? Now, the other people who are not Christian, they're not going to be standing at the great white throne. I mean, they'll be standing at the great white throne judgment. They won't be standing at the judgment seat of Christ unless they get saved, okay? And so remember that both the employer and employee are accountable to Christ, okay? You say, well, I don't know. My employer claims to be a Christian, but they sure don't act like it. Well, they're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ if they make it to that one, okay? You just do your responsibility, okay? And then lastly, God is impartial. Look in verse 9, latter part of verse 9. Neither is there any respect with him, of persons with him. In other words, there's no respect of persons. In other words, God plays no favorites, okay? So we need to apply these 4 things, employers, if we're a Christian employer, and we need to apply those things, those 4 things that deal with the employee, the Christian employee in our life. So let's sum it up. Let me phrase it a different way to you. Employees are to work through Christ, like Christ, and for Christ, okay? Employers, in other words, are to lead or manage through Christ, like Christ, and for Christ. Okay? It's all dealing in a spirit-filled relationship here in chapter 6, 5 through 9. Okay? Boy, I hope that helps you. Amen? You learned something today you didn't know, right? And somebody say, yeah. Okay. All right. All heads bowed, all eyes closed musicians come walking down toward the aisle to have an invitation. Father, there may be some here today that needs to make public a confession of faith in Jesus Christ. Very simply, as Ray said this morning, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that calling on the Lord incorporates repentance, it incorporates faith, understanding we can't save ourselves and you're the only one that can save us, understanding we need to be saved, understanding you're the only way of salvation. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe today you need to do that. People say, well, I know what I need to do, but I need to put it off. No, you might put it off, breathe your last breath, and end up in hell. When God is drawing you, there's no time to waver. You need to be obedient and immediate. Don't miss the opportunity. Maybe someone here today is saved, but they've never been scripturally baptized. You need to follow the Lord in obedience in baptism. And then the third step is uniting with a New Testament church that preaches and teaches and believes the gospel, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. You need a church family. You need to be identified with the local church. Acts chapter 2, all who believe were together. And the Bible says they were joined into the church. That in the Greek there, that means they united with the church. The church knew their people. The church had a church role. They knew who was on it. They knew who the shepherd was accountable to, who the sheep were accountable to, what shepherd they were accountable to, how you can minister to it. It's not like fly by night, in and out. No shepherd knows who his people are. We need to be united with a local fellowship where we can identify and truly be a part of to grow as Christians. So whatever it needs to be done, the altar is open this morning. Father, I pray you work through your word and through your spirit this morning, and I pray that the hearts will respond. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.